Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go, live in L.A., hour number 3, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Patriots and Philadelphia Eagles tonight. I will tell you, Joy, I did my NFL predictions a month ago. I get 2 amendments. I'm not going to give you the number yet. I know I'm going to take away multiple wins from the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
I think both Carolina and Atlanta's offenses are going to be significantly better. And I think the Saints have a lot of questions.
Do you still have the Panthers at 12-5?
I'm not officially gone there yet. So of all the moves, and I want to watch New England again tonight. There are certain divisions that I feel really good about. And then there are certain divisions I don't know about. I'll tell you, like, prime example. Like, I know Buffalo is going to win their division, right. And I know the Jets will finish 4th. It's Miami and New England. And I tend to think Miami's got more cheap, easy touchdowns on that roster, and that's the difference. But I think New England, I'm going to give one more win to. Tonight, if I watch, and Mac Jones or Cam, kind of, because I thought New England looked really good last week. Now, they were playing the Texans.
Right.
But I know the Saints I'm taking wins away from.
The Rams,
I'm going to... I feel really good about it. The NFC West all comes down to, I don't know what to do with San Francisco. I have no idea what to do with them. Like the Rams, I think the Cam Akers is a real loss. Like a real loss because they lost their backup to the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's significant.
So they're not going to be, not that I take them out of the Super Bowl bubble because you can go find running backs on the waiver wire. There's guys out there, but you're not going to find Cam Akers on the waiver wire. You have to generate a trade. And by the way, Rams have been willing to do that. Rams may just decide in the next 7 weeks because the trading deadline's week 8. We're just going to make a move.
They're aggressive.
Look, Dodgers go out. This is an aggressive city in Los Angeles. Dodgers are like Trey Turner, Max Scherzer. This city is super aggressive because you're competing against the Lakers and the Dodgers are great. And if you're not aggressive, the Clippers are aggressive.
You very quickly disappear.
You disappear in this city really fast. This is not like, you know, San Antonio or Indianapolis where it's Colts, Pacers, and that's it. So I think the Rams are going to go out and make a move for a running back. Because I think they know this team potentially is excellent and they've shown a willingness to give up picks. But the Saints, I'm out on. And now I was going to reduce the Colts, but Carson Wentz, according to all these stories, is making really good time on his rehab. So like now I got the Colts back. So but I get 2 big amendments. Rams worry me a little. I'll tell you I've been watching a lot of this camp stuff. Chargers.
Yeah.
Their camp stuff. Maybe it's just their social team.
They do have a good social team.
It's really, some of these teams, the social media teams they have, Carolina, outstanding. Atlanta's is funny. The Chargers is really funny. I know it's literally shifting how I think.
Yeah, it'll get you excited. They're very good. Get the right music, the right cuts.
They're just there.
Everyone looks fast.
Pew, pew, pew. Everybody's Superman for Carolina. Shady McCoy, 15 minutes. 6-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ will be joining us.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card into your first year automatically with no limit. Go to discover.com/yes. So we were talking about, when players get older and they got the bag, they got the money, and they got their health, but they can still play. You know, we've said this before. Dan Marino could probably still throw a football. Do you want to go through the practice? Do you want to deal with the travel? Do this. So it's very interesting. LeSean McCoy was on the Bucs last year. And at one point, you know, you thought he would have a bigger role, but then, you know, then they signed Lenny Fournette, and then they got Ronald Jones. But when he did play, you're like, oh, he can still play. So he is a free agent. He's a six-time Pro Bowler. He's only 33 years old. So we increasingly see guys who take care of themselves. And good God, Adrian Peterson still banging around the league. And LeSean McCoy, two Super Bowl rings, now joining us live. So I want to go back to last year in Tampa. So obviously I watch all the games.
Yeah.
Take me in the audience, Shady, behind the scenes. As the team was early, there was pandemic. There was no camps. There was no preseason.
Right. Yeah.
The game in Chicago, it's a mess. Everybody's screaming at each other. During all that like crisis and stuff, did you sense in week 7, 8, 9, 10, would you have predicted, no, we're going to win the Super Bowl? Or did it even surprise you a little at the end how it all came together in Tampa?
You know, what's funny about that question is that, yes, I truly believe that we will win a championship. And the big reason is Tom Brady. He talked about that. You know, he talked about how, hey, this is a new team. You know, we're bringing all these good players together, but it's ultimately new. You know, you talk about a guy that played in the system for 20 years, right? The same offense. You know, most teams, the coordinator can install the plays. Well, when he's with the Patriots, he could install the plays, right? So coming here, he was a rookie all over again, a whole new offense. You know, an offense where the year before they threw for, 5,000 yards? Now, you know, Jameis had a lot of interceptions, but they did well offensively. And they go deep a lot, where Tom is more likes to control the game, take some short passes, take a shot up top, run the ball. So a lot different. But he talked about, hey, after the bye week, how we're going to gel. And I think a little bit that really helped out also was more just, I think Coach Arians kind of gave him a little bit more control of the offense. See, Tom Brady, man, he's so humble. He's such a great player, man. He's so humble. And there's times as a player, like, hey, Tom, hey, you want this play? Hey, tell him. You know, his thing is more, hey, they're the coaches. I'm the player. That's how it works. I think it's more of the, you know, the Belichick, the Patriots thing over there. Yeah. So after the bye, we get changed up a little bit. And he got some of his plays, got some of his tight end involved, and some more play actions and, you know, taking shots downfield, but also, you know, managing the game and it changed after the bye week.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting. So at the, you know, Tom's a humble guy. The coaches coach, the players play, and then Tom demanded it a little more. You know, it's you know this as well as anybody. So much of this league is chemistry, and we just think it's all talent. But in the end, New England's chemistry was really, really good. You can play right now. During the break, I said the Rams would be perfect for you. You wouldn't be wasting your time. It's a running back, pro running back system. Like, McVay's guys can run. It's a very good offensive line. You have a veteran quarterback. They wouldn't need 24 carries. And I just threw it out to you during the break. I said, actually, the Rams, you'd be very interesting. Is that the kind of team you would come back and play for?
For sure. For sure. I think that team, man, they're right there. I think they're a player, too, from going. Great defense. You know, playing the wise last year, they're very good. The best player in the NFL plays for that team, and Aaron Donald. And great, their coach well. McVay is a great coach. And also, when you add, like, Matthew Stafford there, a guy who can play with big potential, you put him in an offense where you can control it a little bit. He has a lot of strong arm strength still, and he still can swing it. You got DeSean Jackson on the outside, man, with the other receivers that can do, like, more of the immediate routes and can run the routes. They got plays, bro. And I think that they really can make it happen. They got some linemen, you know, with that scheme, zone scheme they have, and I think they're right there, man. Super Bowl contender for sure.
So you play with Patrick Mahomes and Brady, and we all love Mahomes. I've said this before. The league is really lucky right now. They have really good human beings who are the face of the league. Like, Mahomes is like a really good dude. When you played with him, take me behind the scenes on him, the dude. Is he serious? Is practice with him and Brady different? Like, what is he like, Patrick Mahomes, behind what I don't see?
Pat's the truth. Pat, he works extremely hard. He's very intelligent, very smart. You know, a good thing I like about him, he finds a way to interact with everybody. So from the linemen to the cool wide receivers, you know, Tyreek Hill, and you got McCole. Like, he finds a way to interact with everybody. You know, even him and Kelsey, they have a great connection. I think a lot of that is with his experiences with quarterbacks, you know, teach them different things with that. And also, I mean, Pat, like, he's always trying to simplify everything for the players. Like, I remember times where he would talk about the scramble. Like, hey, you know, there's some times where I see something, but I might want the bigger play. we might need that in the game for momentum. And we worked on that as an offense, you know, the scramble drills and things like that. So he's a young player, man, that is so mature at this age. I'm not sure if it's because his father was a professional, you know, and kind of installed that in him, but he's legit. He really is.
When you've been around the sport like you, you've played for several coaches. So Bruce Arians last year, Andy Reid. You also played, I believe, Sean McDermott a couple different times.
Yeah.
I think he's great. Take me to his leadership style, because, you know, Buffalo, it had a long stretch where they couldn't get their act together. McDermott shows up, and you could tell within a year, you're like, okay, they don't make the mistakes. Like, I don't know Sean, but when I watch them play, I'm like, they may not have a great pass rush, but they engineer the best pass rush they can with the players they have. Like, what stood out to you with McDermott, and did you know instantly, this dude is different, he's a real deal?
Well, first of all, me and Sean are good friends because he was there when I was in Philadelphia. And he kind of was a scapegoat. We had a situation in Philly where defense wasn't playing well, but it wasn't his fault. But anyway, he takes that same attitude, right? He takes it to the Panthers, who instantly started having a great defense, getting tons of turnovers and being very disciplined. That's his biggest thing, is being disciplined. He goes to Buffalo when I was there. And, they drafted Josh Allen, which was a big improvement because – young kid with a lot of talent for the future. They got him. They lock him in. And then Sean, he's all about the attitude. He's all about, you know, playoff caliber football, all about being accountable. You know, and he preaches that through the whole building, you know, for staff and players. But if you see his defense, man, they practice constantly on getting turnovers, being in the right position at all times. And he's changing that culture. When I got there, it was good. But when he got there, it got great. And you can see the difference between all the players. And they have some good-time players and some big-time players, but it's more just the attitude and the culture of the team, and that's something that he brought there.
Yeah. So you're 33 years old. First of all, you could be a broadcaster because you're great. I mean, you recall stuff very
well. Thank you.
You're very good. A lot of guys can't recall. You're just flying through all your coaches and contacts, and you like Dave Wannstedt, who I love. Dave Wannstedt, by the way, recruited.
He's the best. That's right.
Story time with Dave Wannstedt. So for you, if I said – you have a chance to, because we all know there's going to be injuries in camp with running backs. And I said to you, what can you provide? What would be a perfect situation? Carries, touches, catches, coaches, what would be perfect?
I think the first thing we got to establish that on any team I play on, right, starter or not, you know, there won't be no drop from the running backs. I will hold my own with any player, with any backfield. I think I bring an attitude of being competitive. I'm a smart player. When I wasn't on the field, I was still helping out the young guys, you know, getting them available, getting them ready. And also for myself, that I go on there and go out there and produce, catching the ball, running the ball. I mean, hey, 7 carries, you know, 2-3 passes, I'm going to contribute. I'm going to find a way in the game to make a big momentum shift in the offense. And that's something I truly can bring, you know, in the pass game, catching and blocking. You know, and if you give me some runs, I'm going to make it happen. That's the truth. That's all I'm giving you, is the truth.
Hey, it's great to talk to you for the first time. I admired your work. I'd love to see you land somewhere like Los Angeles. I need a running back, and it's great seeing you.
You too. Hey, I always respected you for sure, man. You keep it real. A lot of guys don't keep it real. I would say this. You keep it 110%.
I appreciate that, LeSean. Thanks, bud.
All right. Yep, take it easy.
All right. Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of these young coaches are a little bit of throwback. McDermott, Brian Flores, like, not a lot of nonsense. You know what I mean? Like, when you watch Brian Flores on the sideline, he's big. Like, he is a no-nonsense guy. Joe Judge already had two guys just quit for the Giants. Like, we're working too hard. There is some – I'm telling you, man, there are some really good young coaches in this league.
Well, I don't think just because you're young that you don't, you know, run a tight ship.
No, it's true. But young people – you know, there's more than one way to do it. Tony Dungy was more quiet. Parcells was more the psychologist. But this league right now, between young quarterbacks and young coaches, we got really, really good people. Really good.
The future is bright.
It is. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Speaking of youth, the Jets and Packers are practicing together this week.
It's not supposed to be very good right now.
Not for the Jets, no. But Zach Wilson is getting an up-close and personal view at how Aaron Rodgers prepares for the season. And Wilson said he and his teammate James Morgan were a little starstruck when they were around the reigning MVP.
James is a big fanboy. He was getting a little nervous. So. Nah, I'm a big fanboy too. We all got to kind of pretend like we've been there before, but we enjoy just being out here and being able to talk to him. We're all technically at the same level now. We're all in the NFL, but it's like we all still kind of like, you know what, that's Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's kind of crazy.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is 37 years old, so...
And looks it. Aaron looks
What's
like a...
What's wrong with looking your age?
No, I mean, Aaron is...
Someone told me I look 34 today. I was like, thank you.
I don't even know how old you
are. I am 34.
Is that how old you are?
Yes. I don't know. I don't think Aaron Rodgers looks old. You think he looks old? Is 37's not old.
I think Aaron looks like...
37's not old.
I think Aaron looks like he's lived a life. And I say that not as a negative, as a... Like, Tom Brady looks bizarrely young. Russell Wilson wow. looks weirdly young. Aaron looks like he's lived. He's got some, you know, wrinkles and...
That's what happens when you get older.
And fight with your management all the time.
Oh, come on. Well, Zach Wilson's 22, so he was 6 years old when Aaron Rodgers came into the league. So he was 11 when Rodgers won his Super
you know,
Bowl.
Do you think I'm crazy on this? Aaron Rodgers could be an actor. If when you look at pictures of Aaron...
He had a Game of Thrones appearance.
But I mean, he looks like something. You could cast... You know what Aaron Rodgers would be? No, I'm not going to say it because it sounds like a negative. It's a positive. Aaron looks like a certain type of character. Like, he would be like...
I know what kind of shows and movies you watch, so that's why I'm...
Aaron would be the guy you would hire to get stuff done... But he would do it in peculiar ways.
He's like the fixer?
Yeah, like Aaron Rodgers as an actor would be like in the bank job or something. You'd have Aaron in there and it'd be like, he would come in. He wouldn't be the star of the movie, but it'd be like, he's going to get us the trucks that we're going to come out of the bank and drive. Aaron would have a way to find the trucks. He'd get
so
them
he's
for-
like a... He's like a sophisticated gangster?
Yeah, like Aaron, if you look at him, he would be like a sophisticated get it done guy, and you necessarily wouldn't want to know how he got it done, but he got it done.
I think it would be very interesting to be at camp with Zach Wilson as Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers should have been in Ocean's 11 because that whole cast was a bunch of guys that were a little sneaky.
It was so realistic. I mean,
but they got everything
plot.
Done. Yeah. Cheadle and everybody was just Andy Garcia, Julia Roberts. Everybody was a little, they, you know, we've always met people. You ever met, we all have this friend at some point in our life. Oh, just ask Sue or John. They just get stuff done. How? I don't know. They just get stuff done. We all have a get it done person in our circle. My wife's the one in my family.
The get it done person?
She just gets stuff done. I don't know how she does it.
She knows a guy that knows a guy.
Or she'll, let me
or
say.
Or she's the guy.
She will call people out. She wrote a letter the other day to somebody that wanted to charge us for something. I was like, it was on fire. I was like, I could never have written that. She is like, she's a...
Have
she's
you been watching Cocaine Cowboys, by the way?
I've seen it already twice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There are a lot of get it done guys in that documentary.
I was watching it last night. A lot of get it done guys. So the Cowboys offense was on fire at the start of last season. They had the number one total offense through week four before Dak Prescott got injured. And with their quarterback back, they're aiming to hit that same mark. Ezekiel Elliott said that their number one goal this season is to be the number one offense. Now, Dak talked a little bit about this. Now, he didn't necessarily say the number one offense, but he said he didn't want to throw for 6,000 yards because that's a very unbalanced way to play football.
Right.
Running game's not going to be involved. But the Packers are the number one scoring offense with 31.8 points per game last season. They were in the NFC Championship game. Chiefs had the number one total offense with 415.8 yards per game last season. They were in the Super Bowl. So having the number one total offense, or the number one total scoring offense throughout the season does translate to some success, obviously. But you just don't want to have an unbalanced offense, which is what Dak was talking about, because if he's throwing for that many yards, then you're not running the ball. You're not keeping the defense honest.
Okay, I'm going to make a prediction, and it will absolutely come back to haunt me, because the last 38 times I've bet this team, I've lost. Watch Atlanta's offense this week.
Colin.
Watch.
Colin.
It's going to be amazing.
Colin.
Ridley, the video's on YouTube.
Colin.
We'll just get right now.
It's
Kyle
intervention
Pitts.
Time.
Oh, I didn't say they're a good team. Atlanta's going to finish the NFL with the number one offense in the league. I've been on Twitter. You should see the videos the Falcons site releases.
Oh, I'm sure
the players
brilliant.
All run like a 4-1-40.
I'm sure they're brilliant. Why do you keep doing this to yourself?
First of all, I don't know. I don't know
is
the answer
like
to
Is it like the colors of the uniform or something?
No, I don't know what it is. I have a love-hate relationship.
You love the Falcons. I bet they burn you every time.
I bet them 20 times a year. I don't.
And every week you say, Joy, don't let me do this again next week. And then you put your picks in for your Blazing Five, and there they are.
I don't know how good they are. Watch the Falcons' offense this year. You just watch. I got an offensive coach, the best tight end prospect. Ridley is eating people alive in these scrimmages.
Yeah. I have some plans to buy some really nice boots this winter, so I'm not going to take you up on that. But
all right.
Buccaneers camp has become a family affair for Tom Brady. This is really cute. His 13-year-old son, Jack, has been on site serving as the ball boy during practice. And Brady posted a few photos, a photo series on his Instagram story showing off his son's work. First, he said the Buccaneers got a new ball boy this week. Next was a picture of Jack running with the caption, he takes his summer job and every rep very seriously. And the last post said, just like his dad, with a picture of the two of them together. It's very cute.
Oh, I love that. I have like such a soft spot for dads and sons. And
yeah, you know, I think the league's always been, you know, a family league. But I think it's really cool, especially with social media now, how much having the family around and, you know, having good facilities for families when they come to visit and training camp and all of that. And it's just, it's like a real positive atmosphere for everyone, and especially with COVID now, having, you know, being able to have your family there and around is got to be a huge relief. Like training camp, seeing your family at training camp is always like a really big deal. And obviously COVID changed everything last year, but it's, you know, you're out there in the hot sun all day. There's nothing like having your kids come and see you and, you know, run around on the field. And it's awesome.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
All right, rookie quiz, rookie quarterback quiz coming up. I was terrible yesterday. Didn't we do some quiz the day before, backups or something? God, I was terrible.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
David Ortiz is putting his money on the line on the Fox Bet Super 6 app. It's free to play, so scan the QR code below, download the app, and answer 6 questions about Saturday's Twins-Yankees game for your chance to win $1,000 of Big Poppy's money.
Navien tankless water heaters, tanklessmadesimple.com, 15-year limited warranty, tanklessmadesimple.com. Hot water that never ends, spa-like comfort. All right, we're going to play a game. It's a rookie quarterback, rookie NFL rookie quiz.
Yes.
You're going to ask me a bunch of questions, and I don't have any idea. I don't even know what the questions are. Forget the answer. So here we go.
Which rookie does not go by his middle name? Does not. Trevor Lawrence, Chuba Hubbard, or Elijah Vera Tucker?
So what you're telling me, two of these three are going by their middle name.
Correct.
Wow. So I would say Trevor Lawrence is not going by his middle name.
Chuba Hubbard. So his middle name is Robert Shamar. Trevor Lawrence's first name is William.
So then why does everybody call him Trevor?
I don't know.
I don't understand that.
Maybe he prefers Trevor.
Literally, that's been 7 years in the public eye.
His Elijah name is Vera Tucker's first name is Solomon, which is a really strong first name.
Solomon Elijah Vera Tucker. That's almost biblical.
It's very biblical. All right. Which rookie coached a sorority flag football team while in college? Justin Fields, Kyle Trask, Mac Jones, or Najee Harris?
You know, I did that in college.
You coached a flag football team?
A women's flag football team. We won the championship.
Mm.
In fact, we won it back-to-back years.
That's fun, Colin trivia. I played in one flag football game.
My team was great. They hated me by the end, though.
You were a tough coach?
No, but I had plays, and I wanted you to run them. And my plays were very, very good. We had one play that worked every single time. My quarterback's name was Terry. She was a jock. She was really good. Which rookie coached a sorority flag football team while in college? Kyle Trask.
Mac Jones. He coached the Zeta Tau Alpha intramural team when he was a backup quarterback. He was once ejected from a game.
For doing what?
I don't know. Spicy coach. Which rookie started changing his cleats at halftime in college? Jamar Chase, Travis Etienne, Jalen Waddle, or Kyle Pitts?
So he did this a lot?
Changes his cleats at halftime.
Kyle Pitts.
Jamar Chase. He said he started doing it because his socks got wet during a game. He didn't want to slip on the field, but he played so well he kept doing it.
All right.
Foot sweater. Which rookie has a bearded dragon as a pet? Rashawn Slater, Alex Leatherwood, Ian Book, or J.C. Horn?
I know Ian Book's dad. That doesn't mean anything, but I met his dad one time. And you know what his dad said? He said, thanks for saying nice stuff about my kid.
I like Ian Book.
Yeah. Got a little Baker Mayfield to him. He's got runs around. Got a lot, little playmaker in him. I'm going to say, just weirdly, Rashawn Slater.
Correct. Her name is Eliza, and he makes her a salad every morning. I want to get a snake.
Oh, God, no. Oh, don't. Terrified of snakes.
What's worse, a snake? Well, you like cats. A lot of people don't like cats.
I love cats. It's not that I just don't.
Snakes are so cool, though.
Oh, they're
They just sit and they just chill on you.
Oh, and they slither around. And
they're good judges of character as well.
A snake is.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
I mean, it'll let you know if you don't like somebody.
Don't snakes bite everybody?
No, not all snakes bite anyway. Actually, I don't know if that's true. But which rookie is known for imitating Megan Rapinoe's World Cup pose during a touchdown celebration? Kyle Pitts, Chuba Hubbard, Najee Harris, or Travis Etienne?
Chuba Hubbard.
Najee Harris. He borrowed her iconic World Cup pose while celebrating a touchdown against South Carolina in 2019 and said after the game it was a shout-out to her. Her like this.
Oh.
That one.
Well, Alabama scores so many touchdowns, that's one of the ones I didn't see.
Which one of these is not the rookie's nickname? Mac and Cheese for Mac Jones.
It is.
Slim Reaper for Devontae Smith.
Is.
PS2 for Patrick Surtain II. Or Texas Ranger for Walker Little.
PS2 Patrick Surtain.
Nope. That's correct. He wore a PlayStation 2 inspired chain at the draft in honor of his nickname. It is not Texas Ranger for Walker Little.
Time out. Our staff came up with that?
Yep. Very creative people we have working with us. Which rookie is known as the meme connoisseur? Jalen Waddle, Alex Leatherwood, Zach Wilson, or Landon Dickerson?
Alex Leatherwood.
Correct. He has 1,000 memes saved on his phone. 1,000.
Maintain your edge with M-Drive. Go to mdriveformen.com. Free shipping. Don't let age beat you. That was a good game.
Yeah, it was fun.
Sometimes our staff surprises me. Way more clever. In the meetings in the morning, I don't see any of it. But, you know, sometimes they just spring stuff on you. You're like, wow, got some brains back there. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Good stuff. It's The Herd.